This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Gracious God, your love, unbounded, touches us with blessings in so many ways. Make us ever more mindful of your many gifts, so that not only we can express our gratitude for them, but share them as well with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. It is good to give extravagant gifts to those whom we love. Now that I've got all the wives on my side this morning, I will qualify it by saying it doesn't just apply to married couples. But the experience of extravagant love is important. And it is that which the gospel talks about this week as well as it did last week. We have jumped from Luke to John in the gospel writers, but if you recall last week, with that incredible parable of the prodigal son, more properly called the parable of the loving father, we experience this extravagant, forgiving love that the father extends to both of his sons, the wayward one who has left home having been willing to receive it, and the second son, we don't know what happens afterwards. We pick up that extravagant love this week again with this story that exists in all four of the Gospels, but John has a special take on it. He has it taking place with Mary, the one who does it, at the home of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And he has this rather deadpan and Lazarus, whom Jesus raised from the dead. And what do you do when you have raised a brother from the dead when you come back? Oh, they threw a dinner for him. Seems kind of not in accord with the gift that was given. But I guess they did what they could. But we have Mary here is the one who shows the extravagant part of the love. Mary pours this expensive perfume on Jesus' feet. And if there is anybody who'd be aware what things were worth in terms of dollars or shekels or whatever they used, denarii, it would be Judas, because Judas is just concerned about money, as the parenthetical from John tells us, and we know from his story. 300 denarii, it would have been enough to feed a family for a year. It's a lot of money. The point is, Mary undoubtedly wanted to show her love for Jesus and gratitude for what he had done for them in the most extravagant way she could. And so she took the thing that she had that was worth the most money of anything and does it in such an extravagant way of pouring the perfume on Jesus' feet. This was the good stuff. She didn't pick this up at the dollar store. 300 denarii, the most expensive thing, the most valuable thing she owned, she gives to Jesus. It is important for us to get in touch with this extravagant love, because we're just about to go into the experience of the most extravagant love gift ever given as we prepare next week to enter again into that journey with Jesus to Jerusalem, where the most incredible extravagant love gift is offered to each one of us. Jesus giving his life for us. Now, we can't totally get in touch with that gift when we consider the analogies we have from a human perspective, But it helps us a little bit to get in touch with that by having experience and knowledge and knowing what that means. So the first thing I ask you today is get in touch with those experiences of extravagant love that you have experienced, or perhaps that you have seen, or perhaps that you yourself have sponsored. I share with you two stories in that regard today. Some of you have heard these before, I apologize. When I was a young boy, my first job in high school was to get to work as a stocker at Kroger. Kroger, a grocery store, if you're not familiar with that name. And my brother, older brother, Mark, who also got me the job there, worked there as well. And it was just a way to make a little pocket money that we as high school students could have for our mad spending. We didn't really need it. But in those days, when you worked at a grocery store as a stocker, not a stalker, guys, a stocker. I saw a little bit of this out there. I better explain this. S-T-O-C-K-E-R, one who stocks shelves, one who takes products and takes that little gizmo with the blue ink and goes bing, 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 in those days. Now, in those days, if you had that job, you had to get up at 4 a.m. because you had these crazy hours because they wanted everything on the shelves ready to go before the customers came. It wasn't the days of 24-hour grocery stores. Well, my brother Mark kept asking and requesting for all these additional hours. It's like, Mark, why are you doing this? And the bad thing was, well, if he goes, guess who's got to go with him? So all of these hours are accumulating up, and in those days, working in a grocery store, you were in the local union 655, you made a pretty good salary. And I was wondering, what is Mark doing with all this money? And he had to have a stockpile of it somewhere. Well, here's what happened. The day came for my parents to have their 25th wedding anniversary. And Mark walked into the kitchen where all of us are gathered and just very nonchalantly hands this envelope to my mom and dad and says, "Happy anniversary." Well, they open up this envelope and almost dropped over onto the floor. Inside were two round-trip plane tickets and a whole paid hotel stay for my parents to go on their dream trip to Hawaii. My father didn't want to accept the gift. "Mark, you can't afford this. I can't take this from you." There were tears from my parents. Mark started to cry because after all this, they weren't going to take his gift. And here, all the kids were in tears as well, just in disbelief that he had done this. And in the long run, they accepted the gift, had this incredible experience that we talk about to this day. What an experience of extravagant love. There's another one I share with you because I got to experience it firsthand. My wife's friends in New Jersey, Donna and Mike Checkey. Mike has done very well in business in Manhattan, but he loves to share what he's been blessed with. Donna was getting ready to turn 50 years old, and Mike schemed. And they have been all over the world, but they had always heard Dee and myself talk about Positano, Italy, because when I was in Rome as a student, it was just a bus ride away, so it wasn't a big deal to go there, but it was my favorite place and still is on earth. But I always stayed at the little cheapo hotels when I went. Well, Mike decided that for the 50th birthday of his wife, he was going to surprise her with a trip. And he would take her to Positano. But they would stay at the 5-star Hotel Siriusse. And when they got there and would go down to dinner for their first meal together on the trip, 50 of her closest friends and family would be there already, having been flown there at Mike's expense for the party. We made the cut. we were there. It was the most incredible thing I have ever seen in terms of extravagant love expressed by a husband for a wife. Now, I know that you all have had those types of experiences either directly or indirectly, or perhaps you've even been able to be blessed to do that for someone. The important thing is to get in touch with that, because it gives us an insight into what the gift of Jesus giving his life is. It gives us a chance to appreciate it. And as well, it gives us the opportunity to be grateful for the people who have been that example of extravagant love for us. Part 2. Jesus goes to Bethany. We all have Bethanies in our life. They can be places, but more likely, they are people. Bethany is a town that is only a couple of miles from Jerusalem. It is the place where Jesus always goes to chill out. It is the place where Jesus goes, like that sitcom Cheers, where everybody knows your name, and you can just sit on the bar stool or whatever and just be yourself. Jesus has that Bethany in Martha and Mary and Lazarus. He goes there. When he needs to commune with his God, he goes to the desert or up the mountain or to a quiet place. But when he just needs some chill-out time, he goes there. We all have these Bethanies, and they're important. And it's important for Jesus as well. And 6 days before the Passover, John tells us, he knows what is ahead of him. Just as much as those desert and mountaintop experiences gave him strength, I think this visit with them does equally the same. It is important for us as well to realize these Bethanies that we experience in our lives, but as well the opportunities that we have with those who have chosen us as their Bethany to realize that and appreciate the power of it. I always go, when I think about this story in the Bethany, is my own Bethany back when I was struggling in the Roman priesthood as a young man, and it came to me in the name of Dick and Mary James. I could go to Dick and Mary's house in the morning, in the afternoon, at 2 o'clock in the morning, and they would be there, and the door would be open, and they'd welcome me with open arms. And we didn't have to talk about what was going on in the church or anything or what I was struggling with. We could just chill out, usually in the hot tub. Well, one particular night, it was about this time of year, and even back in those days, I would get these ideas of changing the liturgy at the last minute and doing something. And I decided we're going to sing the Passion this year on Palm Sunday. And Dick has this incredible tenor voice. He was going to play the part of Pilate. So I took the script and the music over to him, and it was late at night, and the door was open, but there was nobody in the house. I heard noises out the back. They were in the hot tub. So I ran out to the hot tub, and now normally when I would do this, Mary and Dick would see me and say, "Oh, Marty, your suit's in the bathroom in the basement. Just throw it on and come in and join us." But it didn't happen that day. And I said, "Well, Dick, I've got this script." He said, "I'll do it. I'll do it. Just leave it in the house and go." And they weren't very welcoming, and I just didn't understand it. And the closer I got to the hot tub, the more that they were insistent that you just need to go home, Marty. Well, and I found out the next day at church, where Mary had her head down the whole service, and Dick confided in me after the service that that particular night, they didn't have their suits on. We laugh about that to this day. But at that time in my life, they were the Bethany I had. I think we all have this. Hopefully we can find that in our spouse, our partner. But we are gifted to have friends, and we are gifted to have the ability to be friend to other people, and we provide that Bethany experience for them. It's important for us to be in touch with that and to be grateful for those people and for that opportunity. I leave you with one last thought today. When we think in terms of this Bethany, and we think of Jesus going to Bethany, what would it be like for you if Jesus would want to chill out with you? Are you living your life in such a way that Jesus would want to hang out with you? Are you living your life in such a way that this incredible love story we're going to experience of Jesus journeying to Jerusalem, that 6 days before that, he might have just want to hang out in fellowship with you? As we prepare to enter into this incredible love story next week, I think that's a question for us that's worth pondering. Amen.